What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to part two of the Catching Up Time episode of the Main Event Talk podcast. Obviously, we're back on here because we did just a previous episode a moment ago. If you guys are listening to it right now, I appreciate it. But there's a couple of other things we got to cover and some stuff that I just found out. And boy, this is going to be a bit interesting a little bit here. So, as always, this episode of the Main Event Talk podcast is brought to you by Rich's Billiards, 5815 Weber, Not Your Average Heroes. The legend continues, and it's also sponsored by Emo Night. Tonight is Emo Night. Ladies and gentlemen, if you guys want to go ahead and check out Emo Night as it happens, check it out tonight over at Rich's Billiards. It's going to be one hell of an epic night. $10 cover, 18 and up are welcome with proper ID. Rich's Billiards, 5815 Weber, Not Your Average Heroes. The legend continues, and we will continue talking about this in the next few minutes. Now, obviously, we got to talk about things we got to talk about, including NXT 2.0. Was it a disaster, or did it go up like never before? AEW's Grand Slam coming up next Wednesday. The Main Event will be covering on that as well. Also, a little bit more about Extreme Rules, about what's to take place, and so much more. And there are a couple of other things that we need to catch up on as well, so we'll talk about that in just a moment. But before we do that, let's get down to some music. As I mentioned, the 30th anniversary of Ozzy Osbourne's No More Tears album was released. I think it's already released now. The 30th anniversary is here. And that came out just yesterday, as a matter of fact. Today's the 18th, yesterday was the 17th, so that album is out on Spotify and out on several other places. You can check it out on YouTube as well if you're interested. Now, also something else. Tomorrow will be the, I believe it's going to be the 35th anniversary of the release of Megadeth's Peace Sells, But Who's Buying? If you remember that album quite well, it's featured such legendary songs like Peace Sells, Devil's Island, The Conjury, and a song that I'm fixing to play here right now from the Peace Sells, Who's Buying album. This is Wake Up Dead. We'll be right back. Peace Sells Who's Buying album. That was Megadeth doing Wake Up Dead. That is still one of my favorite songs. You know, well, of course, right next to Peace Sells and everything else like that. The 35th anniversary begins tomorrow because the release date was September 19th of 1986 was when this album was released. I was a huge fan of Megadeth from that point on. Now, and it's funny that so many badass things happened in 1986. So many badass things. And think about it. 86 was, let's see, Transformers the movie, obviously. You know, that was one of them. Another, I was trying to remember, I believe there was another movie that came out. I think it was Jason Voorhees. It was the Friday the 13th. I believe it was Jason's Live. I think it was part 6. I think that's what happened in 86 and everything. But anyways, a lot of badass stuff that happened in 1986. That is happening right now. 35 years later, the release of Megadeth's Peace Sells Who's Buying, released back in 86. You can listen to that song. You can listen to Wake Up Dead and all those other tracks on Spotify, YouTube, or wherever it is you find your favorite music. Okay. Obviously, we got some wrestling we got to talk about, but I want to catch up on something here and. Where do I begin? I posted this on my Facebook. And I didn't post this on my Facebook, but I posted this on my Minimet Talk podcast. And I'm probably not going to get in trouble just yet, but I'll give you the heads up as to what it is. On the last episode, I talked about my good friend Adrian Cavazos, who apparently now is up and running. He seems to be doing fine. He seems to be okay. He's back to his normal self. But I don't think Adrian has any clue about what I just did. Because here's the thing. Look, I'm going to apologize to Adrian for this, because he doesn't know that I posted the episode where I talked about what he had posted on his Facebook. Because immediately, like right after I got done with the episode and I got done doing the editing, doing the work and sending it out and everything else like that, the next thing I know, I'm looking on my Facebook for a little bit before I begin the next episode, and I see Adrian and he's up and running, he's doing fine. I noticed that most of the Facebook posts that he put on were deleted. So apparently, I think he regretted it. and it's very, very understandable. I mean, look, we've all of us have deleted a lot of things that we regret we say. Because, and also think about this, guys. We get drunk. We're out of our fucking minds. We're having a good time. We get depressed. We get mad. We get happy. We go through all these things. It depends on what kind of mood that you're in. Now, for me, I don't get upset at a whole lot of things. I know some people are going to say, oh yeah, really, Furman, you don't get upset. Well, follow along with me on this one. There are times where I would get mad about certain things, but I don't try to express them that much on my Facebook. And if I do express it, I've got to express it calmly, the right way, and to try to get the point out. Some people will get it, and others won't, and that's fine. That's the point of leaving a mystery behind. Because you don't want to give in too much detail. Like, in other words, for example, if I'm going to go ahead and post that my girlfriend's a fucking cunt, I wish she'd go straight to hell, I would actually post something like that. But then I would actually, you know, well, somebody else would actually do that. I'm sorry. If it was me, I would actually post something like, my girlfriend is a beautiful, loving soul, but has an evil heart. That would sound a little bit better. You know, and it wouldn't sound much like what I just said. So, in other words, we're going to go through a lot of stuff in our life where, you know, we're in the age of the internet, right? We're in the age where, you know, you can post stuff, you can say whatever you want, whether you're drunk or sober, whether you have something on your mind, whether you want to show something of inspiration or show something of evil or show something that, you know, everybody wants to look at. Now, clearly, and I'm apologizing to this to Adrian because, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, I saw the post this morning, you know, and it wasn't meant to, get even or something like that. This was just meant like, you know, I see it and I felt need to talk about it, and you know, I'm just hoping that he's okay. Now in this case, I think Adrian is okay. So Adrian, if you're listening to this and if you heard the last episode, yes, I did. I did read the posts and I did say I'm on my podcast, but I'm also someone that expresses concerns, you know, hopefully that you're okay and hopefully that you're fine. I don't think it was any, I didn't mean anything derogatory is what I mean. Everything is in all in good, clean, fun of nature and everything else like that. So all I know is Adrian is doing okay right now. As a matter of fact, his birthday, is his birthday today or is it tomorrow? Or was it yesterday? I may need to look into this a little bit here, because I think his birthday was, I'm trying to see here, because on my Facebook once again, and I'm looking at the, trying to look at the deletion of everything. I think his birthday was the other day, wasn't it? I think it was. Let me see here. Okay. Several other birthdays have taken place, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. As a matter of fact, yeah, his birthday was, wait a minute, no, that's a different person, I'm sorry, I got several different Adrians in my,
Bluetooth is connecting,
really,
Bluetooth connected,
oh, okay, my apologies, my little voice box right here, that's connected to my stuff, to my YouTube, apparently was, not cooperating. Well, anyways, let me, I think his birthday was just a couple of days ago. I think I could be wrong here. Let's see here. And I just want to get a clarification here just to get it out of the way. Just because we, you know, I need a clarification. You know, we got to make sure everything's right tonight. Okay. So, all right, here we go. This is what I was looking for.
Wait a minute. His birthday was just a couple of days. Wait. Okay, September 8th was his birthday. And
really? That young? 1984? No fucking way. That's cool. But anyways, let's see. His birthday was on September 18th. Today's the 18th, so that was 10 days ago, so happy birthday to Adrian Cole, you know, just to get it out of the way and everything else like that. And also, I wanted to, like I said, extend my apologies to him at this time, because, the thing is, like I said before, I'm not trying to get under Adrian's skin, not, because, like I said, he's a dear close friend of mine. Known him for a long time. He's a huge wrestling fan. He knows what's up and everything else like that. And it all comes down to, you know how it rolls. So, look, and I'm saying this to Adrian because I can. If you want me to delete the episode, you can tell me now. As a matter of fact, I haven't sent you the episode yet. As a matter of fact, it's already been released. But I'll send you the episode on your Facebook. I'll send it on your Messenger. And you can be the judge for yourself. If you want me to delete it, I'll delete it. I'll edit it in my own way possible. And then we won't have to discuss this. But if you're okay with it and all is cool, then that's okay. You look, but because like I said, I mean, I just saw it. It got my attention this morning. I had to say something, and I wanted to get it out of my main events on Facebook page, and I got it out, so my God, here we are. So, and the good thing is, you're the talk of the town, Adrian. You're the talk of the town. I hope that you're okay. I hope you had a great time over at Black Mall Tavern last night. I'm sure you ran into some other good friends, including Hector Juarez, possibly Tommy Martinez was there, Frank Slabby was there. And whether the best drummer on the planet, John Luna, is there, or Robert Cantu, we'll have to see. But nonetheless, Adrian, I hope you're okay. Hopefully we can get together sometime soon. And to extend this invitation to you, because the main event's going to be on its way over to Rich's Billiards tonight, you can come over to Rich's Billiards and check out Emo Night as it happens. As a matter of fact, Emo Night is tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of that, Emo Night is happening tonight. I'm looking on
on the invitational page that I got here, because as always, I'm invited to check out Emo Night and everything. They have been coming over here for the last couple of months. Today is the night when they come over to Rich's Billiards. They make their long-awaited return back to Rich's Billiards. It's going to be, I'm reading this right here, says, 5-hour event. Event by Emo Night, CC, and Rich's Billiards. And it says here, Rich's Billiards at 5815 Weber. The public, it says here, anyone on or off Facebook. Now, it says here, what to expect. Emo Night, Saturday night, September 18th, Rich's Billiards, 5815 Weber, Corpus Christi, Texas. Cheers and tears, 18 and up plus, $10 cover, 9 p.m. to 2 p.m. That's going to be taking place tonight. The main event will be there for all that, so much more. Let me read into the hosts, are obviously Rich's Billiards and Emo Night. The address is on here. Rich's Billiards offers 17 pool tables, full range of hosts, musical, and comedy acts. Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Okay, I'm reading this right now. And I've got to find out about this. Rich's Billiards offers 17 pool tables, full stage to host musical and comedy acts. Okay, what sort of comedy acts are we talking about here? Are we talking about a comedian on stage? Or are we talking about the main event undressing his drawers or something like that? I've never seen a comedy act. The only time I've ever seen a comedy act in my life is when that one time I was trying to remember if it was Adon or if... Yes, it was Adon and Richard when they posted a pic of themselves with Bernie. Yes. Weekend at Bernie's. Hell yeah, that's a comedy relief right there for you. But we'll see what happens. But anyways, full stage, host, musical, comedy acts, 7 projectors, 22 televisions to show UFC, sporting events, and entertainment, full bar restaurant located inside. That's all going to take place at Rich's Billiards. I believe the phone number is in here just in case if you're interested in calling him. It's 361-334-0048. That's 361-334-0048. Check out Emo Night as it happens tonight. As I said, it's a $10 cover. 18 and up are welcome with proper ID. I believe masks are optional unless they tell me otherwise and everything. Check it out as it happens. Emo Night live tonight at Rich's Billiards, 5815 Weber. Not Your Average Heroes. The legend continues and the main event will be there. And like I said to Adrian earlier, Adrian, if you want to come to Rich's Billiards, you're more than welcome to come. And don't worry about covering your $10 cover, because I'll be the one taking care of you if you show up, if it happens. Now, anyways, let's get into some wrestling here, if you don't mind. One more thing before we get into the wrestling a little bit there. Emo Night, as most of you guys probably know, Emo Night is basically like a dance club, but like without the rap, hip-hop, and R&B. All this is basically about like alternative punk, pop punk, metal, and other varieties of music that, you know, all sink into that level. So you'll love this. If you're a huge metalhead like the main event, you will definitely like Emo Night. It's going to be epic. I'm hoping they do exactly what they did the last time when I showed up. They had all the chairs surrounded. They had everything opened up, ready to go. They blocked out the bartender. And also, like I said earlier, and I'm telling this to Richard, and I'm telling this to everybody right now, do exactly what you did last time. Make sure the bar is fully staffed. Make sure you got everybody on standby. It don't matter if they're going to be there for one night, two nights, or 350 nights. Get them going. We got to make sure the show is up and running. Of course, like I said before, Emo Night is tonight. Be there tonight starting at 9 p.m. all the way down to 2 a.m. 18 and up are welcome with proper ID, $10 cover, mask are optional. The main event will be there for all this and more. Whew! That's how you get a promo out, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let's get in right to what we need to talk about here. Let's see, pull this back a little bit. There we go. Okay, we need to... Let's talk about NXT 2.0, ladies and gentlemen. My concerns were, is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? Is it going to shit? Is it going to blow up? Is it going to blow chunks? It didn't do either. It didn't do either. As a matter of fact, the show was actually tremendous the first night. We all know that Samoa Joe had to relinquish the championship due to injury. And I found out earlier that it is true that the injury is legit. And Samoa Joe is going to be out for a while, but he will be back very, very soon. Now, I got the results here, everything on the WWE.com website here. It begins with an appearance by L.A. Knight. Now, it shows here, this is the results of Bron Breakker versus L.A. Knight. Now, at the beginning of the show, it shows that all four individuals from Tommaso Ciampa, L.A. Knight, Kyle O'Reilly, and Pete Dunne are all going to be vying for the NXT Championship. Who would be the one to win it? The main event had predicted that LA Knight would be the one to win it. I'll get into it in a second. Right here, on the website it says here, once again, LA Knight's month wrote a check to provide incredibly hard to cash. A backstage run-in with NXT newcomer Bron Breakker result in a highly physical match before the Fatal 4-Way NXT title clash. Breakker showed up and showed out with an incredible physical display and ended with a jaw-dropping press and slam for the win in his debut, which was very impressive. Now, Bron Breakker, most of you guys that know who he is, automatically you know it's Rick Steiner's son. Okay, automatically you know. Now, here's the thing. I know there's some people that are wondering, in my mind, does Bron Breakker, is it a stupid name or not? Yes, it's a stupid name. But it's a name I would go with right now. You want to know why? Let's ask the question here. Do you really want the WWE to go with the name of Steiner, even though there's still issues between, obviously, I think it's with either Scott Steiner or Rick Steiner. I think it's more Scott Steiner than Rick Steiner. But for them not to mention it's Rick Steiner is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, look, come on. What happens if one day Bron Breakker, who will probably do okay in NXT, then heads to the main roster, doesn't do too well, and then heads over to AEW and then is revealed that it's his fucking son? Come on, WWE. Shit. Straighten your shit out, dude. Just tell the world who he is. Don't fucking hide it. Because here's the thing. The thing with the WWE is they try to keep it their own. They try to keep it their own. They don't try to, you know, mention everything else about AEW, New Japan, or everything. The world has to revolve around the WWE. That's the whole point of it. But nonetheless, big win for Bron Breakker against LA Knight. We're going to be seeing big things happening for Bron Breakker. Ah, should be tremendous. The next matchup that happened was Imperium taking on Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen. Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen were focused on matching the aggression of the veteran duo Imperium in their debut. After distracting of Jensen, Fabian Acker following up a crushing suplex to secure the win over the debutants. Whatever the fuck that means. big win for the Imperium to defeat Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen. I see a lot of big things happening. Speaking of big debuts, B-Fab of the group known as Hit Row took on Katrina Cortez. Now, it says here that supposedly people are saying that B-Fab is like a modified version of Bianca Belair. No, she's not! She has white hair. Yes, they're both black, but she has white hair. Follow along with me if you can. B-Fab was born for the moment, and there was no way she was backing down from a fight. In her in-ring debut, B-Fab looked poised for greatness, as a devastating win caught the attention of Legado del Fantasma and Electra Lopez specifically. B-Fab had a win over Cortez, and no doubt there's going to be a feud going on between Electra Lopez and B-Fab. This whole feud with the Legado del Fantasma and Hit Row is going to get somewhere. This is going to be extremely interesting to check out. The next segment that happened was a deal with Carmelo Hayes. I am a huge fan of Carmelo Hayes. This dude is everything. He's got the look. He's got the style. He can talk. He's the perfect baby face. He's the perfect baby face. And he introduces Trick Williams. I think it's a close friend of his. Let me read into this if you don't mind. Carmelo Hayes is ready to unleash a whole new side with Trick Williams now by his side. The tender talk with and then walked though. I'm sorry. The tandem talked the talk and then walked the walk by punishing Duke Hanson. And I think this is the part where they were done with their interview. They were walking out, and then here comes Duke Hanson or Hunson coming in, and then they went ahead and started attacking. And I said, "Hey, this is good. This is good. Carmelo Hayes is making a statement. He's not going to let anybody fuck with him at all. Not while Trick Williams is still on his side." Boom. I'm digging this. I'm digging this a whole lot. This is tremendous. The next matchup, it says here, I can never pronounce her name correctly. Casey Catazoniar, R-O, and Kaden Carter. God, she's fine. Taking on, defeated the team of, wait a minute, actually, okay, this is what happened. They defeated the team of Gigi Dolan and JC Jane by disqualification. That was the first time until Mandy Rose shows up. Mandy Rose shows up in this match, right? And look, I don't care if Mandy Rose comes out dark or if Mandy comes out light. She still looks fine. I don't care. As long as her in-ring skills are better, and they have improved. A little bit, not a whole lot, just a little bit. We're gonna get there, because after that match was over, then there was a six-woman tag. Gigi and JC and Mandy Rose defeated both Sarah, I think that's her name, and Casey and Kaden. So that was a great matchup right there, and I think there's more information to it today. The initial showdown was derailed and ruled a disqualification as a new look. Mandy Rose rushed in to the level in the charge of Casey and Kaden. The match restarted as a six-woman tag team clash, and Rose externed her will once again, and with a crushing knee to Carter for the win. That happened. We're not going to explain much of details about this matchup. Ridge Hollins pretty much defeated Drake Maverick. We know how that went down. This next matchup right here was Julius and Brutus Creed, the Creed brothers that are a member of Diamond Mine. My God, they tore the shit out of fucking... what was the team? Dan Geman and Trevor Skleek. This is a fucking team right there. It's a badass tag team with an amateur background, and this is tremendous. I like that they're members of the Diamond Mine. It's going to look good. It's going to be tremendous. I can't wait to see big things happen. And of course, we're down to the fatal four-way match right here. Which also we must discuss the fact that this fatal four-way match had changed. Because as Kyle O'Reilly was about to get ready, Kyle O'Reilly got attacked by Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne had taken out Kyle O'Reilly, and then all of a sudden this guy, Von Wagner, had shown up, who is also he's a second generation son of one of the Beverly Brothers. Looks extreme. If you remember the Beverly Brothers back in 1991, you'll probably know who that tag team is. But anyways, in this matchup, it was a fatal four-way. William Regal had announced that Wagner was going to take Kyle O'Reilly's place since he could not compete. So you have Tommaso Ciampa taking on Pete Dunne, Von Wagner, and LA Knight to determine who will be the new NXT champion. Now, here's what it says. After Pete Dunne and Rich Holland attacked Kyle O'Reilly, Mr. Regal tapped on the newcomer Von Wagner to fill the void in the fatal four-way. Von Wagner impressed throughout as all four competitors left in all of the mat. The final moments develop into chaos as LA Knight planted Pete Dunne with a superplex, followed by a slam from Von Wagner to LA Knight, but the Black-Hearted had the final say with the fairy tale ending to LA Knight that brought Goldie home. Which means, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a new NXT champion. His name is Tommaso Ciampa, and this surprised the hell out of a lot of people, because I made the prediction that I couldn't see Tommaso Ciampa winning it, even though personally to me I think he should win it. I couldn't see Kyle O'Reilly. Well, actually, I couldn't see who was the other one that was involved in it. I couldn't see Pete Dunne winning it because of his contract signing. But word is, I think he's re-signed with NXT once again, which I think that's the news that I heard of. LA Knight and Kyle O'Reilly were the only two that I see that could possibly win the NXT championship. So it all came down to one person, that was LA Knight. Right, I thought LA Knight is a surefire. LA Knight would be the one to win it. He'll be the champion. He'll take NXT 2.0 to great heights. But apparently they didn't go with that, because I think after the loss with Braun Breaker, and LA Knight loses again, I don't think they can see LA Knight becoming champion at all. So they win with a veteran in Tommaso Ciampa. Ciampa's a perfect individual to me. I'm glad he won it, even though I didn't say he would win it. I'm glad he did. He's this is the second time becoming NXT champion. Goldie comes home to NXT to Tommaso Ciampa, and now this opens up a lot of huge things for Tommaso Ciampa as NXT champion. So congratulations go out to him. And this other part, and I think we'll talk about this right now. And a beautifully eerie ceremony, Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis made their union official with an unforgettable wedding. The wedding was fucking amazing, okay? And here's the thing. I've seen so many of these wrestling weddings, it's unbelievable. And I agree that certain weddings should not be taking place. And I believe this is probably the second wedding that I know that didn't turn into a disaster. Now let me follow along with this. If you remember the wedding on Saturday night's main event, where they went ahead, said I do, and everything else like that. Of course, there was the part where Piper showed up and Jesse Davide Ventura showed up. I remember that wedding back in 1986. Now, this wedding is almost similar to this one, because certain people try to get in the way. The Reverend fucked up. And the part where I think it was, if there's anyone here who feels that these two should not get married, speak now or forever hold your peace. There was one funny part where Dexter Lumis opens his suit and has an axe in his suit. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. Hell yeah, I dare you to reject, motherfucker. I dare you. I got an axe in my fucking suit. Oh, God, that was so funny. Then, of course, came the dramatics. The Reverend was down, and a priest had to go down, okay? If Kane can tombstone a fucking priest, Dexter Lumis can choke out a fucking priest. Let it happen. And then here comes Beth Phoenix. So at first they were trying to get William Regal to do the ceremony because he's general manager, but he's not a reverend. He's not a reverend. He even knows that. And then Beth Phoenix had, I guess, had everything set, ready to go, because she's a certified reverend now, or sister, if you will. But anyways, goes through with the whole thing, right? Ask Indy, do you take Dexter to be your lawful wedded husband? She goes, I do. And then we wait for Dexter Lumis to say something. And my first thought was, it would be fucking amazing if Dexter Lumis were to go ahead and say the words, I do. Guess what fucking happened? So as soon as Beth Phoenix says, you know what, we'll just say yes. We'll let him say I do. And then she all of a sudden stops the mic right there. And then Dexter Lumis goes right to the microphone and then goes, I And then the crowd was like, what the fuck? Oh my God, he can speak. Then he goes, do. And then the crowd goes completely fucking insane. You know what? Hey, I don't give a shit what anyone says. That was the best wedding I've ever seen in a long fucking time. Indy Hartwell. Congratulations go out to Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis. They are now officially husband and wife. And I know what some people are thinking. They're thinking, well, Furman, you realize this is not a real wedding. Yes, but enjoy this fucking shit. It's wrestling for crying out loud. You stupid bastards. Don't get in the way. And you know what? I'm extremely jealous of Dexter Lumis. Yes, I am extremely jealous of him. Indy Hartwell's a fucking hottie, dude. She can wrestle. I mean, she's not that good of a wrestler, but she's fucking hot. You can't help it. She's from Australia. Orale. Anyways. Now, after the wedding was over, the next thing to happen, which was probably the best ending of the show. Let me see if we can... can we play this? I think we can play this. No, I don't think we can. Oh, here we go.
Congratulations, champ.
Well, thank you, Bron Breakker. And hey... congrats on your first win in NXT 2.0.
Bron Breakker shaking hands with the NXT champion, and it was just crazy. I loved how it went down. It was great. I loved the way the ending went down. Basically, people were comparing this to something like The Undertaker and John Cena. When John Cena had a tremendous match with Kurt Angle back in 2002, he didn't get the win, but he definitely did something to impress a lot of people. The Undertaker had came over when he was a WWE champion, saying, "What's your name, kid?" And then he says, "John Cena." He did good. He went ahead and shook. The Undertaker shook. John Cena shook the hand of The Undertaker, and pretty much his career would launch after that, and we know how far John Cena went. And Bron Breakker, to me, we all know who he is, and let's get it out of the way. I see nothing but potential happening for Bron Breakker. I see, you know, hopefully championships along his way. He could be the next NXT champion. He could be the next North American champion, or maybe, just like his father, a tag team champion. But we'll see how it goes. But nonetheless, NXT 2.0 was tremendous. The show was amazing. I can't wait to see what the next episode's going to be. It's not going to be exactly like AEW Dynamite, but it'll get there. It'll get there as much as it can. Now, we'll get to AEW in just a moment, but before we get into that, let me get into some of the matches here. I talked about this on the last episode, and I'm fixing to talk about it right here, right now. Extreme Rules, that's coming up live Sunday, September 26th, I'm sorry. These are the matches that have already been announced that are going to take place at Extreme Rules. Becky Lynch to go one-on-one against Bianca Belair for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Damian Priest is going to take on Sheamus for the United States Championship. Charlotte Flair to take on Alexa Bliss for the AEW Women's Championship. Roman Reigns to go one-on-one against the Demon Finn Balor for the Universal Championship. The SmackDown Tag Team Championships will also be decided as the Usos defend the titles against the Street Profits. And then, of course, Liv Morgan goes one-on-one against Carmella. That's all that's going to take place over at Extreme Rules. And no doubt the main event will be talking about that hopefully next week. You know, give you his take on what's going to happen. You know, the stupid thing is that it's supposed to be Extreme Rules. And usually, with Extreme Rules, there's supposed to be like an added stipulation. Like a chairs match or a tables match or even a TLC, a steel cage. I mean, it's Extreme Rules. I mean, come on. I mean, can we blend along with what we know? But I guess it's too PG to get to that part, if you will. Okay? So we'll talk about that possibly next week. We'll get into more about Extreme Rules and everything else like that. Let's get into Dynamite. Let's get into Dynamite about what's about to happen. Actually, let's get into Dynamite a little bit. Brian Pillman, this is going to take place over at Arthur Ashe Stadium over in New York. AEW Dynamite, which is going to take place on September 22nd. Brian Brian Pillman Jr. going up against MJF in a singles match. Malakai Black to take on Cody Rhodes. This should be a tremendous matchup. Sting and Darby Allin to take on FTR with Tully Blanchard in their corner. Also, singles match for the AEW Women's Championship. Dr. Britt Baker to take on Ruby Soho, which, I'll be honest, I don't agree with this match a whole lot, simply because I think it's a bit too soon for Ruby Soho to even have a match with Dr. Britt Baker. If this was just a singles match and the women's title was not on the line, I would be okay with that, because Ruby would have to prove herself to Britt Baker, as far as I'm concerned. You don't really have to make the championship mean anything, because, look, the thing is, you got to get Ruby Soho over. That's the whole point of it. You don't have to put the title on the line. That's the whole point of it. I would have rather have had this to be a singles match instead of a championship match, because you would actually have to save something like this for a pay-per-view, right? Kind of like what I'm seeing here. And then, of course, the one-on-one matchup, Kenny Omega going one-on-one against Bryan Danielson. And I got to say this, guys, this is going to be a great matchup. I know there's some people that have wanted my opinions about this, and others have been curious about what's going to take place. My personal view of it is you would have to let Daniel Bryan win over Kenny Omega. Or, let's make this interesting. Some people have been saying that it would be too soon for Daniel Bryan to win over Omega. Because let's be honest. If Omega beats Daniel Bryan, it's over. It's out the window. There's nothing to talk about. Okay? Unless there's some sort of interference. Unless. Now, if Daniel Bryan wins it, that would be good, because then that would give him an opportunity at the title at the next pay-per-view, which will be Full Gear. That would actually make a whole lot of sense. Now, what would make even more sense is, say if this match was no disqualification, right? Double disqualification or double countout, or how about this? How about if Daniel Bryan wins by countout or disqualification to get him over? But then again, those are weak finishes when you think about it. I mean, I would rather have Daniel Bryan win over Kenny Omega, and then thus putting these two in a title match at AEW's Full Gear. That would be great in so many ways. So that's all going to take place on Dynamite September 22nd. That's just the first Grand Slam show. 2 hours. Now we got another 2-hour show that's going to take place. It's going to be AEW Rampage, the other half of the Grand Slam show, on September 24th. Now, no doubt this is all going to... Now, to be honest, all these shows are going to happen in one day, but they're going to do the first half live, and the second half is going to be recorded, and it's going to show up on Friday night, kind of like the way Friday Night SmackDown does it, because you know how they do it on Tuesday nights, and then they would show the whole thing on Friday, and then the whole spoilers would start coming out and everything else like that. Don't spoil it for us, please. Don't do it. Anyways, too many fucking tag matches in this one, and only one singles match. I think two singles matches, I think. No, I'm right. There's two singles matches. Okay. This one on Rampage is going to be a 6-man tag team matchup featuring the Super Click, Adam Cole, and the Young Bucks to take on Christian Cage and Jurassic Express. A tag match, the Inner Circles, Chris Jericho and Jake Hager to take on the Men of the Year, Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page with Dan Lambert on their side. One-on-one match, CM Punk taking on Willie Hobbs, baby. Powerhouse Hobbs taking on CM Punk with Taz and, well, with Taz and Powerhouse Hobbs' corner. Suzuki Gunn to take on John Moxley and Eddie Kingston, and Suzuki Gunn being Moro Suzuki and Lance Archer. That's going to happen. It's going to be a lights out match. Should be great right there. 8-man tag team matchup. It's going to be the Lucha Brothers taking on, let's see, the Lucha Brothers and who else? The Lucha Brothers and Proud and Powerful of Santana and Ortiz to take on the team of the Hardy Family Office, Private Party, and what's the other one? Who is it? The Butcher and the Baker and the Candlestick. I mean, the Butcher and the Blade with the Bunny in their corner. And then a one-on-one match. Anna Jay going one-on-one against, let's see, Penelope Ford. Oh, my God. God. I'm not saying the match sucks. It probably will. But Anna Jay's fine. Penelope Ford is fine. I would find any way to make love to all three of those women if I had the opportunity. Now, anyways, before we go ahead and leave, there's one thing we got to talk about here on this episode, because it's taking place tonight, and I was hoping I'd get a chance to talk about it. And I think we were right now. Victory Road is going to be happening tonight. So let me go ahead and get the match for that one out of the way, because that's going to take place tonight. I'm probably going to watch it or not watch it, but we'll see what happens. We know there's actually 9 matches that are going to take place here on Victory Road. And the lineup is Christian Cage will go one-on-one against Ace Austin for the Impact Wrestling World Championship. Josh Alexander to go one-on-one against Chris Sabin in an X Division Championship matchup. This should be a classic. A tag match. Eddie Edwards and Sami Callihan to take on Moose and W. Morrissey. Another tag match. Finn Juice to take on the Bullet Club's Chris Bay and Hiko. I don't even know what the fuck his name is, but it's a member of the Bullet Club. Let's get out of the way. The tag team, the Knockouts Tag Team Championship match, is going to feature the members of DK, Havoc, and Rosemary to take on... Wait a minute. Oh, Havoc and Rosemary with Steve in their corners, Crazy Steve, if you will, to take on the team of Savannah Evans and Tasha Steeles. They are the current Knockouts Tag Team Champions. The Good Brothers to defend their tag team titles at Victory Road against Rich Swann and Willie Mack. Also, a no disqualification match. Matt Cardona with Chelsea Green in his corner to take on Rohit Raghu, however it goes, and Shira in their corner, his corner. A singles match. Taylor Wilde to go one-on-one against Tenille Dashwood. And also a three-way matchup. It's going to be Petey Williams and TJP and Steve Marcy or Maslin or whoever the fuck that is. That's all going to take place. Victory Road tonight on pay-per-view. And you can also check it out on Impact Plus as well if you guys are subscribers to Impact Plus. Should be great to check out, and so much more. We're gonna start wrapping things up on the main event on this episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. But before we do, and I wanted to go ahead and bring this up right away, just to get it out of the way. I wanted to talk about a couple of things. There were some people have asked me about my thoughts on the. On the SmackDown show that took place on September 10th, which was, you know, the 20th anniversary of the September 11th deal, the thing was, some people were extremely upset about the fact that this was supposed to be the moment when, I think it was what, Zelina Vega was supposed to have had a match on the anniversary show, but didn't happen because of time restraint, and they didn't have enough time. They had so many big things happening. Roman Reigns appeared on SmackDown. Brock Lesnar showed up going face to face, and then all of a sudden we see an appearance of the Demon at the end of the show. Several matches, including Edge versus Seth Rollins, one of the best matches I've seen on the card in a long time. There was supposed to be a women's match. It didn't happen. Zelina Vega was supposed to be a part of the matchup, which she should have. And as far as I'm concerned, she should, because her father was a part of what happened at the September 11th. It would have made headlines. It would have been big. But whatever WWE's decision is about this, I'll never know. It's a bunch of stupid stuff and everything. So you know how that shit goes. You know how it rolls. And That's the way the cookie crumbles, as they would say, you know? So, but nonetheless, the show was great. SmackDown last week was tremendous. This week was pretty good. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of things that are happening with SmackDown. As a matter of fact, I saw SmackDown last night where Roman Reigns had showed up. We all know about Big E becoming the new WWE champion, right? He's a champion now. going to be making his first appearance on Monday Night Raw, and hopefully we'll find out if the WWE Championship is going to be on the line at Extreme Rules, and more importantly, who his opponent will be. That's also another thing we got to talk about. Also, the draft is coming up, I believe, begins at Fox on October 1st, I think, and then it continues on October 4th on Raw. So the draft is coming up. I'm wondering who's going to move where and who gets what and how, and we'll see how all that shit goes. So it should be tremendous checkout, so much more. So, guys, we're getting close to the end here. So that's going to do it for this edition of this episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. Don't forget to follow the Main Event on Facebook at facebook.com. Well, actually, follow me on Twitter, I'm sorry. At twitter.com/@maineventplayer. You can also follow me on Instagram at instagram.com/@maineventplayer. You can also check out all the latest wrestling news. My Main Event Talk Facebook page is up and running once again, and you'll know all the latest info, including all the latest episodes of the Main Event Talk podcast here at facebook.com/@realmaineventtalk. Find out about all the latest info going on in the world of the WWE, AEW, NWA, Ring of Honor, MLW, and so much more. Get to check that out as well. And also, if you want to friend request me on Facebook, as I always say, proceed at your own risk. Go ahead and subscribe to the Main Event Talk podcast on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or wherever it is you find your favorite podcast. Get a chance to listen to it and so much more. The Main Event will be covering everything on the Grand Slam event. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking we're going to probably talk about it on a Thursday. The Grand Slam is going to happen on a Wednesday. We'll talk about it on a Thursday. And then after that, Friday night, they're going to do Rampage. We'll talk about that as well. And of course, I think on that same week weekend, I think we're going to be talking about Extreme Rules. We're going to get into detail about that and find out who's going to win and so much more. So, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this episode of the Main Event Talk podcast. Oh, and one more thing before I go ahead and go. My big apologies to Adrian Cavazos. If you're listening to this episode, my friend, if you're going to head over to Rich's Billiard tonight, do so. If not, I completely understand. And like I said before, if you want me to go ahead and delete that episode, I will delete it or edit. If you want me to keep it on, that's fine. It's up to you. And as always, the Main Event's going to be over at Rich's Billiards tonight. Check out Emo Night as it happens. Live experience Emo Night like never before. If you've never experienced it, I promise you, you go in there. If you're a huge metalhead, if you like punk, if you like alternative, if you like all those blummy things, then I suggest you go over to Rich's Billiards at 1515 Weber, not your average hero, as the legend continues, and check out Emo Night live as it happens. How the fuck did I do that? I don't know. I just say what comes to my fucking head. But anyways, Emo Night is taking place tonight. $10 cover, 18 and up are welcome with proper ID. Mask are optional, guys, and do what you can. The Main Event will be there as early as possible to check out the event and so much more. So, be there. Like I said before, $10 cover. I don't know if they're going to be selling their pins or if their t-shirts. If they do, I'll probably buy one if I can. But the Main Event's going to be there. Everyone show up over there. Adrian, I hope you show up over there. Hopefully, Homestar Runner shows up. Well, hopefully, everybody shows up. To the best drummer on the planet, John Luna. To Hector, to Frank, to Matt, to everyone involved. Emo Night should be epic. The Main Event will be there for all that. So much more. So, as always, thank you for listening. I'll see you next time. Another great episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. Why? Because I can. And I want to. Any questions? Enough said. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time. Let's keep the music going, shall we? We'll be right back.
of the United States of America. Tell me something. It's still we, the people, right?
Garbage you're watching.
Hey, I want to watch the news.
Are you making headway at least?
This is the news.